On today's episode, we're going to talk about taking the leap, understanding your market, and early struggles with development.
Let's go.
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have Peter Huang, co-founder of Byte. Byte is a mobile application where users rate dishes at restaurants along with the picture. Other users in the area can swipe through the review and picture when they are looking for something to eat. Peter, how's your day going?
It's going great. How's yours?
Cannot complain, ready to go. But before we do and ask the hard-hitting questions, and I'm really curious to hear the answer because this is a food question. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
Yeah, great question. So I'm really a big fan of Cleaver's in Center City. They're a cheesesteak place. They have a really good cheesesteak called the Effin' Hot Cheesesteak, and it's like a pretty spicy cheesesteak. But yeah, it's one of my favorite cheesesteak places because the portion, like the ratio between the meat and the bread, is like perfect. And by perfect, I mean there's more meat than bread. So it's a lot better than some of the other local and more well-known cheesesteak places.
Nice. And you talk about the city of Philadelphia, which is where you're from. Our listeners are global, so so you're talking about Cleaver's in Philadelphia and downtown. Any location? Where is the one that you go?
Yeah, so, they only have one location right now. It's I believe it's like 18th and Chestnut. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, good stuff. So without further ado, Peter, thanks so much for answering the question. First question is, tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Peter Huang, one of the co-founders of Byte. I graduated from Temple University about a year and a half ago, studying management information systems. After graduating, I took a role as an information security consultant at a management consulting firm. But I was working in the Philadelphia office. I grew up about 30 minutes away from Philadelphia, so I've been in the area for quite a long time. After that, after working as an information security consultant for about a year, I decided to pursue my startup that I started back in January of 2017. And yeah, and then as that was going really well, and we've been getting a lot of traction with just getting customer feedback, user feedback, and by customer, I mean restaurant owners. And it got to the point where it was really hard to juggle a full-time job and also this having like another job on top of that. So I decided to take the jump, and it's been about 2 weeks. But ever since that, you know, things have been really moving along. The two other co-founders are now working full-time on Byte too. So it's, you know, we're really moving, and we haven't actually launched yet, but we're hoping to release our beta by a couple of days from now. But before then, on September 20th, we're having a Byte appreciation night, and it's an event to kind of thank all the people that have supported us to get to the point where we're able to launch our app. And we're expecting over 120 attendees and about 10 or so vendors that are local restaurants in the area that are going to sample their foods. And they're going to be able to mingle with the foodie community here in Philly. And yeah, it's going to be a really great event. I know you can't make it, but if any of your listeners.
Is this September or October?
Yeah, September 20th. So it's 2 weeks from now. Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's really coming out.
Very cool. So not sure. Hopefully this will be launched before then. We'll definitely see. Maybe we can bring some more invites to you. But
yeah.
Number one, congratulations to the leap of faith, so to speak. You know, huge kudos. It takes a lot for an individual to do that. I'm curious to see, like, at what point was it that, let's get into the mindset of the person that quit the job. And and then now here you are where you are today. Where was the breaking point? When did you realize you're like, you know what, I need to just go?
Yeah, it's just I couldn't focus while working as an information security consultant, and it's a pretty demanding job. And the whole time I just had no motivation, and the only thing I could think about is like, wow, I really have a lot of work to do for Byte. How am I gonna squeeze that in after work? After work, I'm usually pretty exhausted commuting back home. So yeah, that's when I kind of decided like, hey, like not only am I not motivated and can't really think straight at work, it's also affecting the people at work because we're in a team environment. And when I saw my performance potentially affecting the other people around me or taking some opportunities from my coworkers, I decided like, yeah, like, it's my decision to have a side gig going on or a side project, but when it's affecting people that's working, that's their full-time job and that's their passion and that's their career. And if I'm somewhat damaging that or affecting it negatively in any way, I really didn't want that to happen. So that's when I decided to take the jump.
And now that you're doing Byte full time, where has productivity been for you? Have you seen an increase, a dip in productivity? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so just being able to focus on one thing and one thing only definitely helps. And just having the time. So right now, even though we're working 16-hour days, we're just trying to squeeze as much work and productivity in that time frame just because there's so much to do. So ever since I left, we've just been cranking out work. We're just in the office late at night, just trying to get as much done as possible.
And have you always been entrepreneurial, or is this something relatively new for you?
Yeah, so my dad was is still an entrepreneur. He has a distribution business, and his brothers and sisters all are entrepreneurs too. And so I was kind of exposed to that at a pretty young age. I was always helping out any way possible. And just at that young age, being able to have that business mindset, you kind of get to like really develop it, and you get to see like, oh, this is why a business does this, or oh, it makes sense that a business is, acquiring this business, or this is why the business is located there, where there's so much foot traffic versus another location. So growing up, I got introduced pretty early, but that was kind of put on the side because, I graduated high school, and after that, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So just naturally, I decided to go into business because that's, what I was introduced to and somewhat interested in. So I actually went to Temple undeclared in the business school. And then after about 6 months, my roommate at the time introduced me to management information system. And that bridges the gap between business and technology and also innovation. So going through the classes and being involved in a couple of student professional organizations, I had the opportunity to go to a couple of like startup events, Philly Startup Weekend. And through there, I was like, whoa, this is like pretty awesome. Like, this is kind of like, this is definitely what I want to be doing. But right now, it doesn't seem like the right time. So, after that, I just kind of went into a, like an industry job, kind of, your 9 to 5, a little bit more, just because at the time it seemed like the right decision. But going back, I kind of wish I did a little bit more entrepreneurial stuff post graduating.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's interesting. Tell us a little bit more about the app. What is Byte? What does it do? How does it help people?
Yeah, so I came up with Byte when I was traveling for work, and while traveling for work, you get to go to pretty cool places. And one of the projects I was in Manhattan, New York for 3 months. And they put you up in a pretty nice hotel, and then they give you like an allowance to spend on food. So, but then you also have to eat out every single meal. So just that constant process of like, okay, what am I going to eat for breakfast? What am I going to eat for lunch? What snack should I get? What dinner should I get? And just doing that 3 times a day for that long, that period of time got really exhausting. And I was like, And I was just getting really tired of looking at the other review platforms to figure out, which restaurant's good. And then after scrolling and reading these really, convoluted novels, I was like, okay, like I know the server can be mean at some part of the, like there's a percentage of the server being mean to me if I go there, and the service might be slow, but okay, but like what am I going to order? So I had another decision to make. And looking through the menu, you just see like one line of the dish name and the price. Like there's no other information attached to that. And through that thought process, I was like, okay, there definitely has to be a better way to review restaurants. And then just thinking about it, during my project up in New York, I realized like, okay, like why aren't we reviewing the dishes at the restaurant? And why isn't there a picture associated with that review? The picture definitely gives you like a pretty accurate representation of what you'll be actually getting. And I'm curious, like, what do other people think about the dish? So that's from there. I talked to like all my friends and just like, hey, like, doesn't it make more sense to review dishes? And they're like, whoa, that makes a lot more sense than just reviewing the whole restaurant. And just talking to people, and then I have some close friends that I like to bounce ideas off of, and most of the time they just shoot it down. But this idea was like, whoa, like this actually makes sense. So from there, just thinking about it and just working on it. And then I brought on my first co-founder, which is Tim Co. And from there, we were able to get friends and family to fund our development. And we were able to, we outsourced our development in India, but at the time it seemed like at the time it made sense. And I think it still makes sense just from the cost perspective. And yeah, after that, we brought on Tim's brother, David Co, who has more experience starting a company. And his previous role, he was a co-founder of a SaaS-based and point-of-sale company that focused only on restaurants. So yeah, from there we refined the app, and we kind of thought about like what features should be added. And we're like, okay, like let's review the dishes, take a picture, and then that gets pushed out to other users. And then the user should be able to swipe through the pictures. And we thought swiping would be a great way because it allows you to go through as much information in a kind of like an organized way. And so we went with swiping. And then, like I said, we're like, okay, like a picture is really good, and then let's have like a review section. But then we also don't want, the super long review about just one dish. So we decided to shorten it to 140 characters. So you only have 140 characters to talk about it. But then we also have like a unique rating system. We initially had stars, and then we're like, okay, well, it seems like what do the stars actually mean? So, like 5 stars is obviously good, and like 3 stars is like somewhere in the middle, but like, does that mean should I still get the dish? Is it worth it? Like, so from there, we kind of did a little bit more market research and user research, and we decided on our unique unique rating system that breaks down the portion, the taste, and if you would recommend it to a friend.
So, what were some of the ways that you were able to capture data, and what were some of the ways that you were able to capture the information that you needed in order to make that decision?
Yeah, so it was a pretty informal process, and we weren't really keeping track besides just talking to friends and family. I know if I could do it all over again, I would definitely, like really blast out surveys and really track the progress and the data in that way.
Well, what would you do differently?
Yeah, so I think surveys or polls is like definitely a great way just to see like one question that I could just think of now is like, okay, like what are your 5 factors of deciding where to eat? is it location, price, the reviews, things like that, and then see like, okay, what are your factors? What are your like top three factors of choosing a dish? Is it the portion size? Is it how many other people tried it? Is it because it's the most popular dish, or is it because you ask your waiter for recommendations? And then from there, kind of see like, okay, this is what users actually care about, and then go from there.
Very interesting. So, one of the hardest things in business is to achieve your first 100 customers. I know you guys haven't officially launched and you guys are in beta, but what are some ways that you're able to attract your 100 customers?
Yeah, so we're pretty active on Instagram and we're less active on Facebook. It's only because our users that are already taking pictures of food and posting them and putting like a quick review is already on Instagram. So that's where our potential users are. And through there, we were able to build somewhat of a following and build somewhat of a community. And, we would post every day and, we would always comment back and, try to get people as interested as possible. And then just naturally, we decided, okay, like, let's have a beta. And then we just posted it on our Instagram story and an Instagram post, like, okay, we need beta testers, who's interested? And our followers were already, they're all pretty interested in food because they're following our account. And just through that, we're able to get 100 or so beta testers.
Wow,
So
nice.
we're hoping the 100 beta testers are, they'll continuously give us feedback and, potentially be our first 100 users when we actually launch.
Very cool. And so you use content marketing in order to get your first 100. What were some ways that I know food is always sexy to look at, but are there any takeaways that we could take for our own businesses that the people that are listening today that we could use to replicate your process?
Just figure out where your users are or your potential users are, or people that are interested in your industry or what you're working on. And just get really involved and try to really understand the users and try to understand the community. And just naturally, like, if you're working on something that people are interested in, then they're gonna be, really engaged. And that's what we kind of saw in our Instagram.
Very interesting. That's good stuff. So I want to change the direction of the conversation to a little bit more personal stuff because we have a good foundation of who you are as a business professional. So one thing that's really important to a lot of entrepreneurs and business professionals are habits. So what are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day now that you're a full-time startup founder and entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I think one habit that's a little like a lot of people don't really think about it is just hydration. I'm a firm believer that we really need to be hydrated. Like our body's made out of mostly water, and right now I just feel like majority of our population they're not getting the right amount of water consumption, and when that happens, that's when you get your headaches. You feel tired. You can't really focus. But when you're hydrated, drinking just water and doing it often, that really, it's like a really good habit to have just 'cause you're mentally focused and you feel really good.
How much water do you drink a day, do you think?
I don't really keep track. I just drink as like how thirsty I am. If I'm, running or exercising, then, I'll drink a little bit more. So it's not really tracked in any way.
Yeah, no, that's good. When it comes to resources, tools, what are some resources that you use every single day that you simply cannot live without?
Yeah, so it's definitely an app that I use right now. Let me just try to figure out what the name is. It's called Swipes, and it's a to-do list, but it's the UI, the UX is like perfect, and it allows it's just like a really great app, and it allows you to create a list. But then, let's say you couldn't really get to what you had to get done that day, you could swipe one way and say like, okay, remind me in 3 days, remind me in 3 hours. And it really just helps you just stay on top of your work.
Okay, I never heard of that one. But that's a good resource. I like that. Thank you. I have two major questions left,
Sure.
and they revolve around being blind in business. So, The Blind Entrepreneur, the podcast, was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business and they cannot see the obvious. So, tell me about a time that you felt lost or blind in business, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, wow. So many stories I could think of right now, but I think the major one is I got into this tech industry with a moderate technical background, but definitely not enough to where I should have been when I first started. So when I f went with my first development firm, they overestimated our development costs like a ridiculous amount, like more than 5 times of what we're paying right now. And at the time, I didn't really realize it, but just from talking to other people that do have like a technical background, especially in mobile app development, they're like, yeah, that's really not adding up. Why is he charging you like 5 times as much as he should be? And we realized that halfway through our project, and it got pretty sticky with, our contract said, not only would we pay the guy, but we would also give him equity. So that got really sticky, and then we had to get our attorneys involved, and we had to come to an agreement with the development firm saying, you guys are clearly overestimating our costs. Can you like prove to us that you're actually paying your employees to the point where their hourly rate makes sense? And they really couldn't back it up. So we had to stop development with them. And yeah, I just felt so blind because if I had somewhat of a app development background, I would have definitely known like, okay, this is definitely way too high of an estimate. But at the time I just thought like, okay, this guy seems like pretty cool guy, seems pretty successful. I'll just trust him. And just blindly trusting someone could be really dangerous. And that's, one of the lessons that I really think about now when I'm going forward.
Very cool. That's great advice, and it happens far too often, and it's a shame that
Yeah.
not that the person is bad, but just bad business at times. My final question is, there th what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur that may be blind in business, trying to look out, trying to get out of the blindness? But what are three pieces of advice that you'd give?
Yeah, just surrounding yourself with people that are, it sounds pretty corny because I feel like a lot of people get this advice, but it's honestly true. It's just surrounding yourself with, good, smart people and have a relationship where they're comfortable in like critiquing you or just calling you out. And on top of that, just having an advisor or a mentor. It's amazing. You have to be really careful about selecting your advisors and mentors, but when you get like a really good one, then it could save you so much time and so many headaches, and it could really help you out in the long run. So like right now we brought on an advisor of a pretty established mobile app company that focuses on the same industry, restaurants and food. And he's a fairly young guy. He's only 26, but they're in over 12 cities with 3,000 restaurants on their app. And just from talking to him for 30 minutes, we're like, okay, that definitely just saved us like 6 months of doing something completely wrong. So just having a mentor or advisor that's relevant in your, not relevant, but like they could apply their experience into what you're doing definitely helps out.
Very interesting.
Yep, and I guess that was number one. And then number two would be just really take care of yourself. It's really easy to just work crazy hours, not get enough sleep, just eat whatever you want. But it's really hard to perform mentally when you're not getting enough sleep and you're eating whatever you want. So I think just taking care of yourself, just exercising, but also like mentally taking care of yourself. I think that's huge too. I know a lot of people like meditation. Some people are more religious. Some people just like to just go on long walks and just not really think about anything. Just taking a mental break is really important too. And then three, I would just say, just get involved with whatever you're interested in. It's amazing how things fall into place, and you just happen to meet the right person when you're just like out there, just helping other people out. They end up helping you. They help you connect to, whoever. And yeah, just really just get involved in whatever you're interested in, and it's really amazing where things can go.
Very cool. Well, good stuff. Peter, you've successfully completed the podcast, so congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you.
Without further ado, go ahead and look right into the camera. Tell everybody what you have going on, how they can follow your journey, how they could check out the app, download the app, and et cetera.
Yeah, so our website is swipebytes.com, and you could find more information there, our contact info. You could follow us on Instagram. It's at get underscore bite. And yeah, we also have a Facebook page if you're interested in, but we're definitely more active on Instagram. We just started to kind of have vlogs on our stories, so you kind of get a inside perspective of what we're doing day in and day out.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, good stuff. Thank you guys that are still watching and listening for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Everything you've heard today will be in the show notes. To watch more videos, be sure to head over to theblindentrepreneur.com for more interviews. Being blind in business is temporary. I hope that after listening to the wisdom of Peter, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.